20 years ago, the first sequel in the Silent Hill series was released on September 24th, 2001. It had an understated beginning. Sales were slow to start in Japan. Reviews in the United States were a mixed bag, with not everyone understanding what it was Silent Hill 2 was attempting to do. There was frustration among the fans. Where was Harry? How was this a sequel? It would take time for the world to understand what they'd been given. Like the opening scenes of the game, Silent Hill 2's legacy would start slow, and only time would reveal just how revolutionary and inspirational it would be for the video game industry. It's the game that receives the most attention from fans and general players alike, and the one which is most popular by far, 20 years later. I still receive requests to discuss the game constantly, including two which we will explore here, to celebrate the 20th year in our special place. These questions concern major motifs and themes of the game itself, though they sound innocuous enough. First, who are the prisoners? And second, who wrote the message in Neely's bar? Like the game, they sound simple and straightforward. There is always far more beneath the surface than you expect. The theme of imprisonment runs deep in Silent Hill 2. Visual motifs throughout every level reinforce the feeling of being trapped. Bars divide hallways of the apartment building, walls and fences block off pathways, and camera angles reinforce a cramped feeling. More than most of the games, James has to deal with feeling trapped. A room in the society building locks him in with monsters. Another room in the prison will do something similar. His hospital level includes padded cells, with a note mentioning a patient who can be allowed out if they're behaving well. The inside is soaked in blood. Prison cells fill the town in Silent Hill 2. Not to mention the actual prison James visits, hidden underground, removed from the past. Toluca Prison is a disgusting, dark place. The camera angles are closer than they are elsewhere, looking down on James. The light is extremely limited, and every room is small. It is easy to feel trapped here. Exploring the cells reveals signs of people who once lived behind these bars and the torments they faced. And of course, the revelation in the labyrinth, meeting Maria again. The camera shifts between the two, but bars are always present, showing both Maria and James are trapped, both prisoners of their circumstances, with no way out. This is a game about being imprisoned in the mind. All three protagonists are destroyed by the abuse they've suffered and how it has twisted them. They cannot escape their fates. They are prisoners of suffering. Eddie is killed to protect others. Angela feels she must kill herself to escape her suffering. There is no other ending possible for them but death. The visual motifs of imprisonment, the gameplay elements which play with being trapped, all return to James's situation and the prison he's built for himself. It ties into his guilt, for he is a killer, one who doesn't remember having killed, and guilt and imprisonment are heavily associated. But what about those prisoners? In Toluca Prison, it's possible to hear heavy footsteps walking in the dark, behind the cell doors. Sometimes a deep voice can be heard saying, "Ritual." They've come to be known as the prisoners. The radio doesn't react to them, but official literature calls them monsters. James can shoot and kill them, in which case you see blood hit the ground and hear them cry out in pain. Otherwise, they do nothing to the player. The second Silent Hill draws heavily on Aztec mythology and folklore. It was a society with a religion built upon ideas of sacrifice, and those themes are tied into the game. Items display Aztec gods, Religious figures in the cult are named in a similar manner, and their ritualistic items are also similar. It seems this may be another similarity between the Aztecs and the cult: the use of prisoners in their rituals. The use of their own citizens in Aztec rituals was rare. The great cities of the ancient Mexican world were always at war with one another, and it was war prisoners who would be taken and killed in religious ceremonies. Hints inside the prison, the presence of magical texts and symbols, the use of magical objects to move through the level, the possible muttering of the word ritual, not to mention the other signs in the game, such as the Blood Swamp Monument and Pyramid Head himself, all point to the cult's usage of ritualistic murder as part of their religious practices, centered upon the prison. The prisoners themselves are likely not specific people, but victims of the cult, memories of those long past. They harm no one, like the many dead bodies found in town, or the notes left behind. They are reminders of people whose lives the cult has taken. The fact that they are invisible and impersonal reinforces this, their real names and faces forgotten, erased by the cult's actions. There was a hole here. It's gone now. It's become a line so famous it might be a tagline of the game. People quote it constantly, and to this day there are discussions about what it might mean and who wrote it. One popular theory seems to be Ernest Baldwin, but I don't think it's likely. His role as an ephemeral ghost trapped behind a door, another prisoner in the game, makes it hard to believe that he wrote the note elsewhere, or that he was even considered as a character during this time, when the Maria episode had yet to be made. A theory I posited in a video years back was that the doctor from Brookhaven Hospital wrote the note, due to clues associated with the hospital level. The doctor writes multiple notes to James, which include knowledge of the man's crimes and his name. He sends him across town looking for items, during which time the player can revisit Neely's bar and see a second note written on the wall, and it too uses James's name. It can be assumed both the notes in the bar were written by the same person. But truthfully, a more interesting and less certain answer is, the person who wrote them may be James himself. Silent Hill 2 is a game all about the subconscious. It was a revolution at the time, tackling themes and ideas far larger than most games had yet dared, and doing so in mature and complex ways. Psychology was a major aspect of the game, and James's psyche is behind much of the town's appearance and its monsters, including Pyramid Head, said to be a reflection of his guilt and desire to suffer for his crimes. While some of the notes in town seem unrelated to James and may be left behind by other characters, some may only exist in James's mind. The letter he received from Mary at the beginning of the game disappears by the end. It's only a blank sheet of paper. How many other notes and signs in the game were illusory? How much of Silent Hill 2 was all in James's head? If you look at the second note in the bar, you see some of the letters are capitalized, some aren't. Take out the uncapitalized letters and you can create an anagram that reads, "I need you, Mary. Be real." Does James create outside notes and letters to himself in order to point out his own guilt? It's a possible theory, and it's likely the closest to the truth we'll ever get, since Silent Hill 2 is a game that leaves everything to interpretation. That is the ultimate strength of this game, and one of the reasons it's still being talked about to this day. So much is ambiguous and mysterious, with no straight and simple answer. The story can end in vastly different ways, and story beats and symbols can have drastically different meanings. It can be unwoven into 1,000 different patterns, and none of them are truly wrong, The use of psychological ideas and darker themes creates a game that will never stop making us ask questions, that keeps us searching for the deeper truth. These questions will never be really answered, and so we will never be able to stop looking. All of us will be here, looking for answers in the fog, searching for our special place, perhaps even another 20 years from now. Happy birthday, Silent Hill 2. Thank you for listening to this week's Silent Hill Symbolism. I realize it's been a while since I put out an episode. That's because I've been researching a new project, an incredibly deep dive into the history of Silent Hill, how it was made, and who made it. It's called There Is No Team Silent, meant to refer to the fact that over the years, the people that worked on the original Silent Hill games were not the same people, and who they actually were. It's on my YouTube channel, and I hope you'll check it out. If you like what I do and want to support it, you can support me on Patreon or through YouTube membership, or you can purchase my books on Silent Hill. Thanks again for listening. I'll see you all next time.